about. You gotta put it in
perspective. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Speak.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
You're on with Daddy.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
This resume is one of the worst written I've ever seen. And you didn't even fill out this form properly. Not even close. It's incomplete. It's worse than sloppy. I wanted to see you to tell you that if you ever want to find work anyplace, then you better get your act together, do things properly, and start showing some respect for a possible future employer. Because based on this, you'd never get hired here. And I would never recommend you for any work. Any place.
It's funny that you say that because myself, I'm a stoner.
The president and a small group of people know exactly what he meant.
And now, it's exciting, isn't it?
Of course.
Really exciting. Around here, this is peak excitement.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It is Wednesday, the 7th of June.
Really?
Strange word to mess up on.
Yeah.
Because I never use the word Wednesday, so. Oh, you I never... say it all the time.
Yeah.
That's right. I say it every day.
You say Wednesday every day?
I mean, you know, I say it a lot.
Like once a week?
I've said it millions of times. Okay. That's what I'm saying. And then I misspoke. Can I start again?
Sure.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, the 7th of June.
That was a fantastic start.
Yeah, right?
I liked it.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Hey, any interactions with the Popo this morning on the way in, Kevin?
No, but here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
When you're driving in Los Angeles, you're mm-hmm. constantly going 20 miles per hour, 30 miles per hour, mm-hmm. 35, 15. You're in traffic all the time.
Yes.
When you drive at 5 in the morning, there's not enough cars that you have to go 30.
Mm-hmm.
So why are half of the cars on the road going between 40 and 50 miles an hour with no one in front of them?
Really?
Do you think they're tired?
Or, I don't think I've seen that.
I have not encountered that.
It's probably half of the cars on the way in.
It sounds more likely that you're going 80.
Nope,
so they're
not.
Going 60, and it seems like they're going really slow
no,
to you.
Maybe? No, I'm behind them, and I'm like, why huh. are you going for? This is what happened yesterday, but when I got the ticket, is I was frustrated because people go so slow.
Yeah.
And my thinking is, if you live in Los Angeles and you can go just the speed limit.
Oh, take advantage.
Right?
Yeah.
Aren't you thrilled and don't you go the speed limit?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Huh.
I need a giant siren and a speaker and all kinds of stuff, don't
no,
I?
No, you don't.
Please speed up.
Yes, I do. I think
you
so.
Of all people.
I feel like I need that.
I would like to hear some backup on people who are going 30 and 40 on the freeway from somebody other than Kevin, who may have a warped and distorted
no one,
view of this situation.
Yeah, no one in front of him.
No.
Huh.
Now, that
no.
seems unlikely.
Yeah, it does. I'm upset about it.
Hence
that's why.
The frustration.
So then I yeah. had to go around them, and then, you know, the next cars are going perfectly fine. Then you uh-huh. come up on somebody that's going 45, and then you just stop that. Do the speed limit.
Yeah.
Just because you can.
Huh.
Okay.
I don't get it.
Doesn't schooled, apparently.
I'm just well, saying it doesn't make just, sense I mean, to me I, because it's one of the most frustrating things about living in Los Angeles is traffic.
Yeah.
So if you can, I don't know, speed limit.
I don't think that's much to ask.
Right?
Yeah. I have not encountered that.
Nor have I.
And I used to drive every single freeway in the morning with my other
I
dog.
I drive the 405 South. That's where they do it. 405
okay.
South. From the 101.
Okay.
And it's okay. unbelievable to me that people well, I don't know if they're just not paying attention or...
Is it that grade that they're going up so they're slowing down?
I mean, it's up and down.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, you need to start bringing the helicopter, man. That's the only
right?
answer.
Yeah.
The helicopter.
That helicopter.
Yeah. Jot that
hey,
down.
Let me tell you about a thing that happened last night that is... it's eventually going to just be a footnote in sports history, but it's exciting today to talk about it. You guys hear about Scooter Gennett of the Cincinnati Reds?
No.
4 home runs in a game.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Don't see that very often. And he is a player, by the way, who is not known for hitting home runs. And by that, I mean in 5 seasons, he's only had 38.
Oh, he's juicing.
Wow.
And he hit 4 in 1 game. As the New York Times points out, something that Hank Aaron never did, Babe Ruth never did, Alex Rodriguez never did. There's a long line of people who've never done that.
Has anyone else done it?
This is the 17th time in Major League history that it has happened, that somebody hit four home runs in a game. No one's ever hit more, which is far less frequently than the perfect game, by the way, which has happened 23 times. So he, and by the way, he also hit a single in his first at-bat in the first
weak
inning.
Weak single.
So he was 5 for 5 with 10 RBIs in the Reds' 13-1 victory over the St. Louis Cardinals.
Scooter.
Right?
Scooter.
Scooter's on fire.
He hit a grand slam in the third inning, and then another homer in the fourth, another homer in the sixth, and another homer in the eighth. So it's he says, usually when I hit a home run, I consider myself lucky, but it's hard to get lucky four times in a row. He, by the way, was in a 1-for-20 slump when he stepped up to the plate in the first inning.
That's crazy. So
not like he had a hot bat or something like that. Now, Allie, here's the PS on this story. So, it's – what? Why do you say it like that?
Because I said he's juicing, and it – no?
And you think sometime in the last 12 hours they determined he was juicing? No, he's not juicing as far as we know. His name is Scooter Jeanette.
Okay.
All right?
Jeanette.
Scooter.
Scooter.
Scooter. Yes, that's the point. He was named after the character on The Muppets. It's not his real name, but there's a fascinating story with how he got his name. His
new favorite player.
Birth name is Ryan. Here's the story. And this is the main reason I wanted to bring this in. I love the four home runs in a game, but I knew, Allie, that you would swoon over Ryan when you hear this. One day I was in the car with my mom. She would always put on my seatbelt, and I would click it off. I was just a defiant kid. I always wanted attention, never really did what I was asked to do just to see what would happen. So my mom actually took me to the police station to scare me a little bit.
Oh.
The police officer, I remember he asked me what my name was, and I thought if I told him my real name, I would get arrested. I was so young and so scared, so I made up a name. I said Scooter. It was the only name I really knew at the time because it was my favorite character on The Muppets. And I wouldn't answer to Ryan for about a year because I thought I'd get in trouble and get arrested.
That's amazing.
Some of my teachers were like, what? I'm not calling you that. But eventually they did. It started off as Ryan, but they ended up just calling me Scooter, and it just stuck. So that's what he's been going by ever since he was a kid, is Scooter.
Scooter.
Isn't that an adorable story?
Aww.
He's not going to be arrested.
He said he thought he was going to be arrested.
Yeah, he thought he was. Yeah.
Okay, but, take it all back, Scooter. I think you just had a hot bat last night.
Right, so you're taking away your accusations of drugs.
Yes.
So anyway, congratulations to Allie's new favorite player, Scooter Jeanette of the Cincinnati Reds. That's a cool story.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abito, shall we?
I just want to say, you, bro. You're a piece of
okay.
You're here for the wrong reasons.
All right. Edgar Wright movie, Baby Driver. We've got tickets for the premiere coming up today. We have Michelle Beadle.
Yay.
Who is hosting the NBA Finals, and she's in Cleveland, and she's going to call us with a Game 3 preview.
I wonder how excited you are when you travel in sports media to cover a championship, and your cities are Cleveland and Oakland.
Yeah.
You may be excited about those teams, but that's not the city that you're jazzed to get back to, I bet.
Two things with Michelle. Uh-huh. Diehard Spurs fan. So she's just bummed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Part two, the worst flyer I have ever encountered in my life. When she got the call to become this host and not do Sports Nation as much during the playoffs, I thought, you know you have to fly places. Mm-hmm. This
so
is
you
not going to work
out. That was
out.
Not that a great thing for you.
Immediately, I'm like, yay, friend. Oh,
no.
Oh, passengers.
She's afraid of flying? Is that what
she
do?
She is she's not a good flyer. She gets very freaked out, gets really in her head.
Every little bump?
Yeah. She's been helping out, taking some friendly pills.
Sure.
Lately. Falling asleep.
At least when she gets off the plane, though, my point is she's in Cleveland
right.
and then Oakland.
Right, so it's not worth the flight.
Maybe not something to look forward to.
So the flight is bad as well as the cities.
Right.
Yes,
all right.
I see.
She's very excited, I'm sure.
Can't wait to have her on.
We have Ari Grainer on the program today from I'm Dying Up Here.
Love it.
We have Danny Trejo, Machete, on the program today.
One more time.
You heard me.
One more.
This is Machete.
And the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, because it's Wednesday. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LANOC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, what's up, Bean Baxter?
You drive in from the valley to the city, just like the monkey.
I do.
Will you back him up that he's the only one who knows how to drive?
I didn't say that. I said people are going under the speed limit who don't have to. They could speed up and go the speed limit.
It's not been my experience, but who's to say? Mm. Life is full of adventures.
So Bean is flat calling me a liar.
No,
and
not
Ralph
at all.
Is just, very
no, no, no. I said
roundabout.
I said the same thing Ralph said. That no. I've driven Los Angeles thousands of times. That's never been my experience to see people going slower than they have to. I'm surprised to hear
on
that.
The rare occasion. Maybe I can remember something.
Yeah,
like
yeah, but
that.
That's not. I'm not saying the rare occasion.
I know you're
yeah.
saying like there's just squads of people going 20 miles an hour on the 405, and you're stuck behind them, and they're like they're boxing you out somehow.
I said boxing out yesterday because I was trying to get out of a ticket. But in this particular case, it's probably one in every 20 cars is going under the speed limit that doesn't have to. And it doesn't make any sense to me.
Hmm. You need a BB gun or something.
Right?
Man.
BB gun. Let me write that down. Yeah,
that's what Kevin needs.
That's the answer.
BB gun.
Right?
Kevin needs more juvenile delinquent tools.
They wouldn't even feel. No one hit him.
All right, it's 5:55. It is Wednesday morning. The important thing, the important takeaway is we're all here. We all made it. And we're ready to create some moments, right?
Right.
Right. That's what this is really all about.
Right.
When's Kevin going to Japan, by the way? When are we shipping him off to Japan?
I didn't know I was going to Japan.
You're going to Japan.
I would love to.
Why Japan?
We'd love you to go there.
Why?
Because Starbucks has announced their brand new drink, but so far it's only available in Japan.
Okay.
Better have a lot of chocolate in it.
Well... It is the chocolate cake topped Frappuccino.
I'm in.
Do you like Frappuccinos yes. and chocolate cake?
Yes.
Well, this drink has it all. Chocolate cake, mocha, coffee, giant, just bucket full of stuff with a straw. But it's only available from June 14th to July 13th, so I'm just saying we got to get Kevin to Japan
yeah.
before
yeah.
it's all over.
That's like it'd be worth the trip.
Ralph's trying to get me
that's
deported, I think.
No, I'm just saying.
All right.
They fly on the freeways in Japan.
Do they? They go yeah. the speed limit? No, that's all
have,
I want.
They have rocket cars.
That's all I want.
You see it? It's like and robots and stuff. It's great, Japan. They do have Godzilla, but other than that, it's a lot, a lot to say. Hey, David Spade is the newest member of this growing Hollywood clique that's been hit by thieves. Man, they're on fire. There's this ring that's just hitting all these celebrities. So far, Cesar Millan, Nicki Minaj, Alanis Morissette, Kendall Jenner, Emmy Rossum, and now David Spade is the latest victim. They broke into his Beverly Hills home late last week and stole just one very, very valuable object, a model that was in his bed. No, no, his safe. His safe was filled with cash and jewelry, estimated value about 80 grand in there.
Ooh.
And apparently these burglars were able to disable the security system.
Wow.
Which, as you can imagine, he's not pleased with. So, just saying.
Just saying what?
It's hard out there for
a band. Don't be famous.
Right, because then people will rob your stuff.
Yeah.
Mother's Day, most people got, I don't know, brunch, a card, some flowers.
Sure.
But not Cooper Hefner's mom. Cooper Hefner, for those you don't know, is the son of Hugh Hefner, who's now currently in charge of Playboy magazine. His mother, Kimberly Conrad, was a former playmate. And Cooper asked his mom to recreate her sexy Playboy cover shot from 1988 to celebrate Mother's Day.
What?
What?
Asked his mom?
Yeah, his mom, Kimberly Conrad, former Playboy playmate, to reproduce her sexy cover from 1988 to put in the magazine as a tribute to her to celebrate Mother's Day.
By the way, happy Mother's Day.
Right.
Right.
Happy Mother's Day to all those mothers out there.
So, that's creepy.
So, that's available online for you to look at. And she's lovely. Don't get me wrong. She's beautiful. I don't know. She's in her early 50s, I guess. But still looks terrific. It's not a question of whether she is sexy enough to be posing for Playboy or not. It's the fact that it's his freaking mom.
Yeah.
Two ass.
That's the weird
that's crazy
aspect of it all.
Very much so.
Hey, Coop, when you said you were going to put nudes back in Playboy, we didn't think you meant your mom.
You yeah, weirdo? It's a little creepy.
You weirdo? Bean's creeped out. What does that say to you, Coop?
I really am.
Hey, I want to give folks a heads up. Saturday night, if you're down there in Orange County, why don't you come check out me and Kevin Smith? We're going to be in Irvine Saturday night at 9:30. We're doing the late show at the Improv in Irvine, California. We don't get down to the Orange County nearly enough, and so we'd love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com, and you click on the Irvine location, and boom. It's all there. It's all there for you.
Hell no.
Come on.
I miss him.
You want to be there. Today's celebrity birthday, speaking of Hollywood Babylon, at the end of each and every episode for years now, we've been celebrating the actor Liam Neeson. Well, a certain part of him anyway.
Sure.
He is 65 years old today. L.A. Reid is 61. Our Vice President Mike Pence is 58 years old. Mick Foley is 52. Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction celebrates his 50th birthday. Bill Hader's 39. Michael Cera's 29. Iggy Azalea's 27. Fetty Wap is 26. Emily Ratajkowski turns 26 years old today. And the L.A. Lakers' Jordan Clarkson turns 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We made an announcement on the program yesterday that I think all of us are surprised how many people are excited about it. I mean, we thought it was a good idea. That's why we wanted to do it. But people are going crazy, Kevin, for your Quitters Never Give Up t-shirt.
Yeah, I say dumb things a lot. And so we're starting to put them on t-shirts. And so it says Quitters Never Give Up.
Quitters Never Give Up.
In quotes, and then it attributes it to me at the Kevin Ryder, my Twitter handle. And then there's a picture of my face, and it's the Kevining picture.
Don't you sound more excited about this, by the way? This is awesome. This is a tremendous tribute to your genius.
Shut up.
It is.
You've tried this for so many years. No. This is full all respect to you.
Dude.
No, I'm being mocked. I get it. It's okay, because I'm dumb enough to say stuff like that.
But don't act like it's a
tribute.
Let me ask you this. When does a bad person or a hated person or an evil person ever end up with his face on a t-shirt? Doesn't happen. You don't put people you don't admire on a t-shirt.
Dumb, though.
Here's the deal. Quitters Never Give Up is the t-shirt, and this is very important. This is a limited edition offer for you to buy it for just 24 hours. And there's a reason we're doing it this way, and I'll explain it in a second. So it's tomorrow at 10 a.m. is when when the t-shirts go on sale through krock.com. Tomorrow at 10 a.m. They're only $19.99, by the way, which is as cheap as we could possibly make them, plus tax. And Kevin, your Friends and Helpers Foundation is getting a chunk of the money, right?
A portion of the proceeds, yes. Go to Friends and Helpers, and the website is friendsandhelpers.org.
So here's why we're doing it for 24 hours, is because this way we can make however many t-shirts you, the Kevin and Bean listener, want. We don't have to, and you don't have to wait for them, because we got a quick turnaround deal where if we sell 80, that's fine. If we sell 800, that's fine. If we sell 8,000, that's fine. We know exactly how many, right?
If we
sell
8 million, that's fine.
So we know exactly how many we're going to make, and that way we go right to the factory, turn them around, send them out to you within a week, and boom, everybody wins.
And then 24 hours later, no more.
No more. Yeah. Right. 24 hours starting 10 a.m. tomorrow. Get all the details and see a picture of the shirt at krock.com.
Did you guys see Jerry Seinfeld refusing a hug from Kesha?
Yes.
Was it one of the best things you've ever seen?
Yes. It gave me so much life.
Now, why did you? I'm fascinated, Ellie. Why were you so pleased by this? Because Kesha is sad? Is that why?
No, because I totally get where Jerry's coming from. If you interrupt my interview and then ask for a hug and I tell you no.
He was doing an interview at the time.
Literally on a red carpet doing an interview. And she came up and said, I'm a big fan. He said, oh, thank you. And then she said, can I have a hug? And he said, no. And she made a move towards him. And he goes, no, thanks.
And he backed up a little bit and sort of put his hands up.
So if you ask me three times after interrupting my interview and you're still not getting it, I'm sorry. You're not entitled to a hug from me.
Everybody's a hugger, too.
And Jerry, have you seen? She said she's a big fan.
Right.
Right then, you would never ask that man for a hug. If you've seen an episode of Seinfeld, that man's not a hugger.
He's not a hugger.
No.
You hit on the right word for this exchange, and that is, why did she feel entitled to a hug? And this is a question that I have.
a lot, by the way.
Pete is not a hugger as well. No. So that's why we say every time you see him, hug
give
him
a big hug.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of humans or touching them. Mm-hmm. So where did we cross that line where now it is not only expected but mandatory to hug perfect strangers to say hello?
Yeah, I don't
when did that replace a handshake?
It's not mandatory.
Well, I mean, Kesha seems to think it is. She seems to think this is a given.
I think she assumed he would hug her back and she would move on. She was just excited, I assume.
But why would she assume that this perfect stranger would hug her? Like, that's the part that's
the
disconnect in my brain.
Hugger. She probably hugs her fans. Mm-hmm. So she thought this is just normal.
I would assume this comes down to huggers versus non-huggers.
Yes.
I would assume that because you're not a hugger.
No.
So to you, it's a not offensive. What's the word? It's annoying? No. I don't know. Whatever the word is.
Yeah.
You don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it creates a level of intimacy that doesn't exist between these two people.
Agreed.
I'll hug my wife. I'll hug my dad.
That's it?
That's it.
That's the list?
That might
Stop
be
talking.
It. That might be it. My brother, he's weird, so no.
Right. Your brother's weird.
Let's hear the tape, by the way, because Jerry is at the David Lynch Charity Foundation, by the way, in D.C., I want to say. And he's being interviewed by the great Tommy McFly. You guys know Tommy McFly.
Oh, he's my favorite.
From Fresh FM. Come on. So right in the middle of the interview, and Ali's right. I mean, it's not like she saw Jerry from a distance and stood to the side and waited till he was done and then approached him. She crashes the interview, and Jerry does make it very funny.
It's hard to just sleep when you're tired, because people are tired most of the time.
I love you so much.
Oh, thanks.
Can I give you a hug?
No, thanks.
Please?
No, thanks.
A little one.
Yeah, no, thanks.
She turns and walks away.
I don't know who that was.
Yeah, it was Kesha.
Okay. Well, I wish her the best.
I do enjoy that her response was, oh, and turned around and walked away. That's why Jerry started laughing right then, because he realized, oh, that was kind of sad. But,
but he was...
respectful.
Yes.
He wasn't a dick about it at all.
I don't think so either.
Because he was well within his rights to decline.
Sure.
Three times.
Yeah. That's why.
Three times.
That's why he comes off looking great. And he did it with a sense of humor. And he made it funny and everything like
right.
that. Look, Kesha's been through a lot. I don't like to see her sad. But she was out of line and trying to hug a stranger.
Yes. Very much so. But the video is gold.
It is very funny.
It's my favorite thing.
It is pretty strong.
It's hard to just sleep when you're tired, because people are tired most of the time.
I love you so much.
Oh, thanks.
Can I give you a hug?
No, thanks.
Please?
No, thanks.
A little one.
Yeah, no, thanks. I don't know who that was.
Yeah, it was Kesha.
Okay. Well, I wish her the best.
All right, so if you see Jerry Seinfeld on the street or Bean,
mm-hmm.
go in for
you.
The hug.
How dare
That's
you.
What we're learning here today,
huh.
right?
All right. It's 626. We are opening up the phone lines right now. We're still doing this? We're doing the Kevin and Bean's What's
Yes,
good?
Sir.
All right. We're taking your calls on any topic, anything on your mind. You can talk about Jerry if you've got a different opinion. You can talk about Hank Williams Jr. You can talk about anything that's going on in
why
the news.
Why people drive so goddamn slow.
Why nobody knows how to drive but Kevin. That's fine, too. Whatever's on your mind, NBA playoffs, we're here for you with questions and comments and problems. You give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We are taking your phone calls next right after this with Kevin Bean's What's Good on K-Rock. Machete himself, actor Danny Trejo, next hour on the Kevin Bean Show. And it's Wednesday. That means the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Right now, though, we want to take your calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Bean's What's Good is on the air. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time. Time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we can be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
Why don't we start with Renee on line 3, West Covina. It's a follow-up to the conversation we were just having about Jerry Seinfeld brutally denying Kesha a hug on a red carpet this yesterday. Renee, thank you for calling. What's going on?
Hey, guys. So I'm with Jerry on this one because my boyfriend is constantly telling people about me, and then I meet them, and they feel entitled to a hug. So how long do I have to know them when I stop looking like a jerk for denying them a hug?
I mean, I don't know that you'll ever stop looking like a jerk, because that's how people interpret it.
But I feel like they probably do that because they've heard a lot about you, and so they sort of know you. You don't know them, but you hate it?
But what makes them entitled to a hug?
Well, I don't know that it's entitled. I think people
It is entitled. That's exactly what it is. Here's the thing, Renee. I say don't hug them when you meet. If you have some cocktails, you get to know them. It was a fun night. Hug them at the end of the night.
Yes?
No?
All right, so she's with you.
I'm with you. If somebody says, oh, I've heard so much about you and goes to hug you, I don't know you. Don't hug me.
All right, Renee, you're just going to have to play it by ear. You're going to have to navigate those treacherous waters, but good luck. Thank you for the call.
I mean,
appreciate
it is
that.
Just a hug, though, right?
But still.
But it's icky.
Okay,
it's icky.
Take it easy.
Nobody wants that.
All right.
Hey, let's go to Paul. He's a caller from Garden Grove Line 4. He's got some support for you, Kevin. Why don't you explain for folks who weren't listening when you came on today, you had a big complaint on the way in this morning.
Well, not everybody, but there are people who, too many people, who don't go the speed limit when they absolutely could. They're going, today I was behind a car that was going about 48 miles an hour.
Not okay.
Right. And the traffic is fine. There's no one ahead of them. So every car that can, especially in Los Angeles when you're driven crazy by traffic, every car that can should be going the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
Speed up to the speed limit or you're in people's way.
All right. Let's see what Paul's got to say on the topic.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good morning.
Good,
I'm a truck driver, so I agree with Kevin. I have to drive 55 miles an hour. That's slower than the posted speed limit for just regular drivers. And I'm passing drivers.
You're passing people, and you're going 55.
55.
Yeah. In like a big
all
rig.
The time. I can't see how being an alley can't see this. They must not drive. Because what? It happens all the time. And I'm on the road mostly from midnight. 9 a.m. in the morning.
So right, there's a lot of time open. When it's wide open, right?
Wide open.
I used to drive every single day from 3 a.m. until about 5 a.m.
Driver.
No,
I'm not sure that's the case,
no,
but
Paul.
maybe you just didn't pay attention.
No,
to those
I was flying by people regardless. It didn't matter to me. I wasn't paying
attention. I was kind of joking with that part of it, but I'm not kidding you. And my biggest pet peeve is I'm driving 55 on the freeway. And I have to try to maneuver my way in from guys even going slower trying to get on the freeway.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah, that is weird.
Thank you for the call, though. What's the honor I've
used for? All right. We appreciate
that. Thank you, Paul.
Let's go to Bonnie, Simi Valley, Line 5. She's got a PS to this topic on the driving.
Hey, Bonnie.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I guess I'm kind of similar to Paul with the whole drivers not going to speed limit. But for me, it's specifically in the carpool lane.
Right.
If you're not willing to go 80, don't get in the car.
I support that.
You're not willing to go 80.
So if the speed limit is 60, if the speed limit is 60 and you're going 75 and Bonnie comes up behind her, these people, just get the hell out of the way.
Well, I mean, don't break the law as far as going across the double yellow line if that exists. Mm-hmm. Like, wait until there's an opening and then get out. Because I'll do that. If someone wants to go 90 in the car pulling behind me, mm-hmm. I'll get out during an opening and let them pass me.
I feel like a lot of people don't do that. They don't know there's somebody behind them trying to go faster and they don't pull over.
Right?
Don't you get mad when you look over at the carpool lane and it's totally slowed down because of one jackass?
Right?
And Bonnie, what car are they usually in?
We know. It's a Prius.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Because Priuses only go 45, right? Top speed?
Thank you for the call, buddy. Appreciate that. Here's a question for Allie on Line 6. Huntington Beach, it's going to be Brian.
Hey, Brian, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, everybody. You know, we're talking about traffic and following people too close behind, but it reminded me of one thing Allie said last week, and that was when she got her eyebrows done,
uh-huh.
It made her butthole cinch up.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
What more do you need, Brian? Do you want me to walk you through this?
It's pretty self-explanatory.
I feel like all of those words are clear.
Don't you ever have a butthole clench? Like if you're watching a tense movie or something, that type of thing? That's what happened as someone was tattooing my eyebrow. Butthole clench. Yeah.
Okay. I have to, maybe I'll try that out.
You should get it done.
Yeah, you should definitely look into it, Brian. It's hot.
Thank you for the call.
I like how we transitioned from traffic right to that.
Let's do one more. Do we have time for Louis Pico Rivera, Line 1? This is a thing a lot of people don't know about, Kevin. It sounds like it's right in your wheelhouse.
Hey, Louis. Louis? Pico Rivera.
Yeah, what's up?
Hi.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi. What's up?
Hey,
what's
Kevin,
good?
You ready for EDC next weekend?
Oh, I love EDC so much. I've gone 6 years in a row. But there's a charity event on that Friday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that I have to go to.
Stupid charity.
It's Bob Saget. his charity. So I'm going to his charity because my wife's on the board of his charity. So now I'm going to his charity, and I'm happy to do that.
Okay, so go Saturday, Sunday.
Sunday's Father's Day.
Exactly.
And Saturday is a Galaxy game. So I can't really.
So social.
I have something
soccer.
Every day.
Oh, listen to him. Soccer, really?
Yes.
Soccer.
Yes. Look, I can miss 1 year, but I do love it.
Last year I called and I asked you to do Molly with me and you weren't there. Now you can do it this year.
I wasn't there. Yeah. Because no, he's the
only... Me and Bean supposed to meet up with you at the pool.
You and Bean.
Okay. I don't know what's happening. I'm now confused. I think you're doing Molly right now. Thank you for the call. This has been What's Good.
What's Good?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Hey, keep listening. By the way, still giving away tickets for Kings of Leon at the Hollywood Bowl October 6th at 9 a.m. You can win your tickets and be qualified to see the band at Red Rocks in Colorado. It's destination number one of the K-Rock Road Trip 2017. All the details at K-Rock.com. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Good morning, boys and girls. Hey, Saturday at Santa Anita Park, it's the return of the K-Rock Super Games and Brewfest Especial.
Yay!
Happens at the infield. It's a good time. There's drinks and food and music and, of course, live thoroughbred racing right there at Santa Anita. You can wager on the ponies. Not just your usual beers and food and stuff, although they will have some great food trucks on site like the Dogtown Dogs and the grilled cheese truck's going to be there and brew wings. But then they have these games that you can play with your friends, like Dunk Beer Mug. Who wouldn't want to play that?
Right.
Right? Twister, Rock and Roll Joust, Cornholio, Giant Beer Pong, Jumbo Chenga. It's a blast. So if you'd like to go, it's just $5 to get in. That's the general admission cost. Free parking at Gate 6. Gates open at 11 a.m. there at Santa Anita. And this event is 21 years of age or older. Plus, they have the VIP area. For $30, you can get two drinks. You get access to the VIP area. You get private restrooms and a private bar. All that if you want to go in style when you're playing Giant Beer Pong and Cornholio. If you want to do it the classy way.
Right.
I got tickets to give away right now. A four-pack of these VIP passes to the big K-Rock Super Games and Brewfest Especial this Saturday at Santa Anita Park. Again, you got to be 21 years of age or older to attend. So if you and three of your friends over the age of 21 want to hang out with Chip and Beer Mug and Dave the King of Mexico and DJ Omar Khan and Nicole Alvarez and Lightning, why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number five. We'll get a four-pack of VIP passes to the very special K-Rock Super Games and Brewfest Especial. And your band's going to be playing, right, Chip?
That is correct, sir.
One Heart of Love.
Well Hung Heart.
Got to work on that name.
Yeah.
That's a little catchy.
What about you?
Yeah, right? What about you? Good one, Chip. Is it too late to be trying to cash in on the Covfefe trend? The
yes,
Covfefe
I
mean?
So.
Yes.
I would think
that
so.
Ship
we've
has
already,
sailed.
We've already forgotten.
Are we already over Covfefe?
I feel mm-hmm. like it. Why? Who's trying to cash in?
Oh, Kevin. You don't know, man.
I don't.
Apparently, there has been a ton of enterprising folks who have filed documents to create products featuring Covfefe.
Sit down.
Now, in their defense, it just happened last week. So I guess you'd think you could cash in and try to get some merch out there to make a buck off of the internet phenomenon that was Covfefe. But we live in such a world now where you can't keep up.
It came and went in 2 or 3 days. Gone.
Apparently we can, however, look forward to thong underwear with Covfefe on it, leisure suits, clogs, coffee mugs.
Good choices.
Even Covfefe beer apparently will be made available, so.
I'm going to get the clogs.
Covfefe.
I know no one else is still wondering about it, but.
But you sit there, Bean, just stewing, I bet.
He fell asleep, Bean. That's my guess.
He just fell asleep and just left it up.
You fell asleep?
Yeah, I would think
how
so.
How are you typing?
Wasn't it late at night?
How are you typing
it
letters
was
at random
midnight?
While you're falling asleep?
I've done it.
No, we're not talking about one of your Ambien smearing ice cream on the wall fits. You're talking about actual falling asleep. How are you working your thumbs on a phone if you fall asleep?
If you're tired, I assume maybe...
I can see where you'd stop tweeting mid-word or something if you fall asleep.
Well, I feel like that's what happened with that last word. You don't think he looked at that last word?
You think
like,
that
okay,
was part of something? You think there was more to come from Covfefe?
No,
he's got Covfefeitis?
No, I think... What do you think happened?
I think he is got issues.
You think he did that on purpose?
No.
Oh.
No, but I think he got confused. I think he got garbled.
He has the best words,
I'm saying he doesn't have the best words.
He said he does.
I'm saying he doesn't have the best medical staff either.
He is 70, and I was noticing when I was talking to my father yesterday that my dad is having trouble coming up with the right word sometimes a lot lately.
Right? That happens to all of us.
No, it doesn't, Kevin.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
And I wondered if that was a kind of just a senior moment, maybe.
I think so.
Well,
either that or he's just getting loaded in the middle of the night.
He doesn't drink. Donald Trump doesn't drink.
Right, that's what he says. He's all whacked out on Jägermeister, typing away, coming up with Covfefe. It's the only possible explanation is some sort of spell.
Some sort of spell.
Yes. Like when you have a spell, when you have a seizure of some kind, some moment where your brain isn't functioning correctly.
Yeah, it's a synapse problem.
But then he thought it was, if he was still lucid and not asleep or something, then he left it up thinking it was okay, or he didn't look at it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, imagine that, not looking at your tweet and just sending it out there and not knowing how awful it is until someone tells you.
Right, that's a horrible way to do it.
Kevin, we're talking about you!
What?
We're talking about Donald Trump.
I got to buy me some of these Covfefe pants or whatever you're selling there, Ralph.
Right. Thong underwear, Bean. Get the thong underwear.
Ralph's not actually selling it. He's just reporting on it.
Yeah. But I think it's too late to cash in on the Covfefe.
I do, too. And that guy who got the license plate, the guy who registered for the California license plate, like...
How funny is that going to be next week?
Yeah, so I was going to say, he's going to have to explain for the rest of his life. People are going to be like, what is that?
Oh, there was this time, one time a guy tweeted... Happened.
Hey, what are your plans for 4th of July? Got big plans for 4th of July?
Always. Celebrating America like I do.
Right? How you do it?
You sound excited.
Yeah. Usually a lot of fireworks, a lot of whiskey.
No, that sounds like a good combination.
A lot of...
Guys, I host a party every year on the 4th of July.
I'm sorry, what happened?
What?
Who are you? Yeah,
every single year, I host a party on the 4th of July.
You host a party. Your wife hosts
a party.
Are you
kidding?
I attend. No.
You don't host then if you attend. Your wife hosts it, and well, sequester yourself to the furthest room you can away from the event.
Is this the one you made Chip work at?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
That's right. Yes. We have a big
to do with dozens of people. You get invited, and then he puts you to work. That's how he saves money on staff. The worst.
My house is directly in front of where the fireworks are.
Like on a barge?
Yes.
Okay.
So, so everybody comes to our house for 4th of July.
Oh,
so
you must love that.
Big day. I do hate it, so.
It's 7 o'clock. Time for you all to go home.
But it sounds like, Ralph, you were starting...
no fireworks yet.
Starting to give us another option?
I'm saying you should all be at the U.S. Capitol for the Capitol 4th. Big concert. Now, of course, it will be airing live on PBS, but you want to be there live for this lineup. You got the Beach Boys. You got the Four Tops. You have Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi as the Blues Brothers. And you have Sugar Ray singer Mark McGrath in what is being called the saddest celebration ever. on the West Lawn of the Capitol Building for the 4th of July. Oh, my Lord.
I don't feel like I need to go to that.
Take my life.
That is not good.
That is not good.
That's old people America is what that is.
It's not even old people America.
It is. Beach Boys and Four Tops is fine.
You're right. Old people love Sugar Ray. I don't know what I was thinking. How's your dad feel about Sugar Ray? How's Chief feel about Sugar Ray? He's a big fan?
That's the nod to the young generation.
You like
Sugar
the warmed
Ray.
Over Blues Brothers? The brother of the dead one and the not dead one Blues Brothers? John Stamos playing drums with the geriatric Beach Boys?
It's not all A-list talent.
It's not for anyone.
Well,
stop
that was
it.
A miscalculation.
Where's Three Doors Down, by the way?
Right?
Where aren't they red hot off their inaugural appearance?
Where's that new band, the Covfefes?
Right?
Where are they? Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jordan Clarkson from the L.A. Lakers is 25 years old today. Emily Ratajkowski, 26 years old. Fetty Wap, 26. Iggy Azalea, 27. Michael Cera, he's funny, 29 years old. Bill Hader's 39. Dave Navarro's 50. Mick Foley's 52. Mike Pence turns 58. L.A. Reid is 61. And Liam Neeson, I have a very particular set of skills. He is 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Was that Bad Religion?
Fall Out Boy?
Fall Out Boy.
Mm-hmm. I'll allow it.
Did you say Bad Religion?
Ooh. I did.
Okay. I only heard the last 2 seconds of the song.
Okay, all right.
I'm guessing here.
All right.
Okay. Hey, here's the thing that we're giving away. More tickets today for UFC 214, which is coming to the Honda Center on July 29th. This is the rematch you have been waiting your whole life for. Between lightweight heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier and John Bones Jones. And tickets are going on sale at 10 a.m. tomorrow. The password is KROCK for the presale through Ticketmaster if you want to get those tickets. And we're going to give away a pair. We're going to try to do it this hour, right?
Yep.
All right, how's it work?
Before 8 a.m., we're going to play Daniel Cormier's voice. Mm-hmm. He's saying, hi, this is Daniel Cormier, and I listen, whatever, the Kevin and Bean Show, right? When you hear his voice, be caller 20, and you'll win tickets.
That sounds easy.
So it'll come up between now and 8 a.m.
All right, so listen for DC on the Kevin and Bean Show. Be caller 20. Win those tickets to see him fight in person. Earlier, we were talking about President Covfefe, and a lot of people have been suggesting lately, and especially this week with a former director of the FBI, James Comey's testimony beginning tomorrow, a lot of people are suggesting that this perhaps is the beginning of the end for President Trump, that he's not going to be able to survive all of these scandals that have surrounded him and his administration. It's unlikely he'll still be president this time next year. In many people's minds.
Right.
Mm-hmm. However, Donald Trump is already running for re-election in 2020 and has been since Inauguration Day. One of the things that he did on January 20th was apply for re-election. He filed the paperwork.
Is that normal?
He was a candidate. It's not normal to do on Inauguration Day. It's not unusual to do it in your first year.
Okay.
So he's running for president and raising money for president, and he is sending out, firing up the base, talking about how Joe Biden and all the other extreme liberals are out there trying to stop Donald Trump's progress, and the fake news media is committed now than ever to spreading lies about the president, and we need to be ready. He is up and running in full campaign mode right now.
Last year was unbearable because of the presidential race.
Yeah.
You're telling me it's going to happen for 4 years straight now?
I'm saying it's already started, Kevin.
Wow.
The 2020 campaign is in full effect right now. So we wanted to find out more about this and how you could possibly have time to run for president when you're already being president. So we welcome number 45 back to the program. Donald J. Trump joins us on KROQ. Hello, Mr. President.
Good morning. I am the best.
That's you are the best.
How do you be president and run for president is because I have the very, very, very much, much, much good.
Oh. You do have all of those things.
Yes.
So I have to tell you how pleased I am that we have you on the show today because you have not been exactly giving out interviews lately.
I don't need the mainstream media, okay? Mm-hmm. MSM. I don't need MSM.
Right.
And also MSG. I don't like MSG. Because I go directly to the people. I give them the truth with the unvarnished truth, the unbiased fake news truth. And I give it to them directly. Covfefe.
And you're saying you give it to them directly through your Twitter feed.
That's right. Thank God for Twitter. It's the best thing. Without Twitter, I never would have been president.
That's true.
It's absolutely true. So how do you like that, Twitter?
But don't you also find that you're getting into a bunch of fights, like with the mayor of London recently, where you kind
pathetic,
of missed? But you missed
mayor of London.
But it seemed like intentionally misinterpreted his remarks.
Oh, our city's under attack. Everybody remain calm, loser.
Okay, what he was?
Everybody should be calm and not go crazy. Pathetic, sad.
What he was saying is, don't be alarmed if in the next few days you see an enhanced police presence on the street. It's there for your safety. He wasn't saying don't be alarmed about terrorism.
I would have said, be alarmed, run around, attack people, break windows. That would have been better. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about 2020, running for president.
Oh, man.
Time to make America greater.
Is that the slogan? You're sticking with that, are you?
I'm going to send you guys hats.
You're going to need a bigger hat.
Make America greater.
Okay. All right. So what's going to be left for you to do once you make things perfect at the end of your first term?
Well, first things first, we have to keep things perfect. We're already very, very, very close to perfect.
Is that right?
Huh.
And once we get them perfectly perfect, mm-hmm. then we're going to want to keep the perfection going.
Right.
And then
We need to win again in 2020. So everyone, please donate $250, $100, $50, $25, $1. The charity that's going to Children's Cancer, donate that.
Oh, no.
Anything, okay. Anything you have, donate it to the re-election.
Okay,
but the Joe Biden is going to run.
There's a rumor that Joe Biden was going to run. You already sent out an email to your
supporters. Slow Joe is going to be running. Sliding Biden is going to be.
You already got nicknames for him.
I don't know what derisive nickname I have yet for him, okay. But it will be awful, and he will cry.
I feel like we don't need 4 years of running for president, though.
Lock him up.
He hasn't done anything. What has he done?
Emails.
What he does? What? There's no email scandal with the vice president.
He sends emails.
Well, lots of people send emails.
Lock him up.
That's not a thing.
Low energy.
No, these are all things that he used for the last campaign. It's too
small
early.
Hands. Oh, wait, that was me.
That was you.
Tried to remember all the insults. There were so many.
Well, I mean, you're starting now in earnest for 2020.
Yes. Slow Joe, sliding Biden.
Right.
Okay.
It will, first of all, hates America. That's a fact. We all know that.
Doesn't hate America. So. Has been a public servant his entire life.
And I'm pretty sure not born in this country.
He was absolutely born in this
certificate?
Country. I think he was born in Delaware, wasn't he?
Lock him up. Delaware, is that even a state?
Yes!
Actress Ari Grainer is going to be joining us around 8:30 or so this morning from the I'm Dying Up Here show. Allie, your friend Michelle Beadle on the program just after 8 o'clock.
Yes, she is.
She loves basketball, doesn't she?
She really does.
It's like her favorite sport in
the
whole wide world.
She's a huge Spurs fan.
So she's, of course, doing the NBA Finals right now on the TV on ABC. So we'll be talking to Michelle coming up. And the Wheel Obed Animal Voice is coming up in just a few minutes here on K-Rock 2. We're going to have Danny Trejo in a moment.
Yes.
Danny Trejo. Let me tell you something about Danny Trejo. Let me tell you about our friend Machete. He is an entrepreneur and a restaurateur. And those are not easy words for me to say.
Right.
He's got your Trejo's Coffee and Donuts. He's got your Trejo's tacos, the Trejo's truck, the Trejo's cantina, and this is a dude who's going to be expanding this restaurant empire all over the country, nay, I say all over the world. We're going to know this dude. He's going to be a billionaire from running his food restaurants.
It's not
on
bad.
Top of everything else he's already done. Like, what more could this man do for us?
I mean, you could have donuts.
He has donuts, Kevin.
Right, that's what I meant.
He's taking care of donuts.
Okay, good.
All right, do we have him on the phone?
He's calling now.
Calling right now.
Yeah.
And he is on our TV on the El Rey Network, which is the channel that you watch your Miami Vice repeats on, Kevin.
Sure.
With a new program called Man at Arms, Art of War. And we'll be talking to Danny Trejo here in just a second.
This is Machete.
I'm not going to hang up on him, by the way. I need to make very sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is not going to be a situation.
Let him say goodbye, take a beat, and then hang up.
All right. I think that's a good idea. Mr. Right. Trejo, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
What's up? It's Kevin and Bean and Allie.
Hi, Danny.
It is all of those things. How are you, sir?
What's up? You know what? I'm so blessed, man. Here I am talking on the radio in Los Angeles to Kevin, Bean, and Allie. Come on. It's like I made it.
Danny, you're so unbelievably busy with all the things that you have going on. How is it that you still have time to walk 4 miles every day?
You know what? It's like you stay busy for work. You walk to stay alive. and besides that, I got 4 dogs, and they demand it.
Oh, there you go. The dogs are making it. Because so many people will say, oh, man, I'm just too busy. I don't have time to exercise. And then I look at a guy like you who's in his 70s and the shape that you're in, and you figure out a way to make it all work. It's just you're inspirational.
Get up, you know what, just get up 15 minutes early. You don't even have to brush your teeth. Just put on some shorts and some tennis shoes and just walk around the block.
I mean, it's all right if you brush your teeth, though, right?
Oh, yeah, it's okay. Don't stop to talk to anybody in the morning. You know, just, but I'm telling you, the biggest problem with people, the hardest thing to do is the first step, to take the first step to do what you're doing. A lot of people will start, well, I got to wash up. Well, I got to do this. Well, I got to do that. And then, oh, I don't have time. So I wake up. I wake up first thing in the morning. I put on my shorts. I put on my tennis shoes. I just go walk around the block.
See?
You know, no one's going to talk to me anyway.
Yeah, Danny's got that look he can give you to make sure he doesn't get talked to. Before we talk about your show on the El Rey tomorrow night, we have to tell you that we have sent our man Beer Mug here out on multiple occasions to get coffee and donuts since the new place opened, and we love it. We love it.
I know. Hey, it's killing it, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's like just doing so good. And people love it. They come from Santa Clarita. We've got this bicycle guys, you know what I mean?
Right.
They come all the way from Marina Del Rey. It's a bike club. They ride all the way from Marina Del Rey, and they say, well, we've earned these donuts.
That's at the corner of a Highland in Santa Monica for folks who haven't had a chance to swing by and check it out. But
it's... Yeah, it's been killing it. And then the cantina is on Coenga, and the Trejo's Tacos is on La Brea. We're opening up a new one next month at the Pasadena Playhouse in Pasadena.
Danny, how many restaurants do you hope to have? Or is there a limit?
You know, I want a taco truck on every corner.
All right. Amen. Okay. Thank you.
I'm down with that.
No complaints here. All right, Danny Trejo, actor extraordinaire on the program here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Man at Arms, Art of War is the new show premiering tomorrow night at 8 on the El Rey channel. This is an interesting concept, Danny. Why don't you walk our listeners through it?
Well, you know what it is? It is actually the art of making weapons, you know, but we're trying to do it the way the old craftsmen did it. So we've got these experts. You know, it takes you a couple of years to make a samurai sword, so we speeded up the process, but the process is the same, just faster. And you know, they used to have warriors come from all over the world to have these certain guys make these swords, make these axes, you know, make these different weapons. We had one weapon that could shoot a spear. We shot it through a car. And you wonder why those guys in the knights used to have those giant heavy swords. It was so they could pierce the armor, you know, so they could break the armor.
Is it hard to find people that still make weapons the old-fashioned way?
You know what? It was impossible. But you know, we found guys in you know, different shops that were making weapons for museums and replicas. So this is how we did it, and we got some great, great people, you know, getting ready to go on board.
So this is a far cry from the janky homemade weapons that you might have to make out of necessity in prison. You're talking about people who are just using amazing materials and an amazing way to make these.
Yeah, this ain't nothing like a prison shank. This is like unbelievable. I'm amazed at some of the early, you can't even say technology. I mean, the early way they formed these weapons, you know, just with heat and hammers, and you know, and it's like, wow, you know. And yet these weapons can pierce metal.
And then each week when somebody gets kicked off, they get killed, right, with the sword or whatever it is you're making?
Well, you know, Robert sends them to me.
The El Rey Network, by the way, is the network that is co-owned by your friend
Robert.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Robert Rodriguez. Yeah, I mean, Robert Rodriguez has done more for independent filmmaking than anybody in the last 50 years. Done so much more for the Latino community too.
And how many episodes of the show are there?
Right now, there's 8. I see. I think we're going to do.
Did you say
that information?
All right, we'll say 8.
We'll say 8. Good enough. Man at Arms, Art of War is the name of the show premiering tomorrow night at 8 on El Rey. Does sound fascinating.
What? I want to give a shout out to Maeve Cromie. She just passed the bar and she's getting sworn in as an attorney. That's my kid's mom. So it's always good to have an attorney in the family.
Yes.
Really good to have one. All right, Danny. Well, thank you for catching up. We know you got a busy day. We appreciate the time as always. Continued success, my friend.
Thank you, my brother.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye now.
Bye. He said He said, thank you, my brother.
He did.
Bean, how'd that feel?
It felt pretty good.
Yeah.
More than a few listeners are pointing out that Danny Trejo brilliantly pulled off, thank you, my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. Some guys can do it.
He pulled it off.
Some guys can do it.
Is a way for those of us that are able to speak like that to sound natural and convincing.
Not everyone.
Not all. There's not an us.
Not this guy.
Thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for coming in, my brother.
Just sounds like Machete and I are over here on this side.
No, maybe you everybody coming else in, my brother.
You are not on the side of Machete.
Kind of over there.
No one's been further away from Machete, by the way, than Bean.
You know what? I can't argue that. Hey, Ralph, I'm glad you're here because we're getting ready to do your favorite segment.
No.
It's Bad Animal Voice Wednesday,
Ralph.
No.
Come on.
Everybody's excited.
Everybody's excited.
No.
Here are the stories on the wheel today. The CIA cats spying on Russia.
All right.
The piano playing bear.
And by the way, I should mention again for folks who think we make these stories up, all of the stories on the wheel are real stories in the news recently that we would like to make a phone call on and get further information.
Yeah, so, who knows who you're going to get on the phone?
Right. Whatever it lands on, that's who we call.
That's the fun of it, Ralph.
Some human being that's involved in the story. Right?
The gay vulture raising a chicken.
Called real bad human voices, by the way.
In Amsterdam.
Wait, say again?
The gay vulture raising a chicken. A chick in Amsterdam. Sorry, a chick. My bad. The Indian cyclops goat.
Oh, that's just
I want to talk to the vultures raising a chicken.
Well, he's a gay vulture, too.
They adopted, I guess. The gay vultures had to go outside the species.
The Airbnb baboons.
What's happening?
Easy for you to say. The drug-smuggling pigeons who use tiny backpacks.
Oh, that's cute.
And the peacock that trashed the liquor store.
Oh.
So those are all the stories on the
Southern
wheel.
California story.
Really?
Yeah.
So let's spin the wheel and see what we're going to do. Come on now.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right.
I'm kind of rooting for the vulture with the chicken.
Or chick. And it's the piano playing bear.
Oh.
This is a great story, you guys. As I understand the timeline of this, it sounds to me like a family comes home in East Vail, Colorado, and there is evidence of a break-in at their apartment.
Right.
Their condo, actually. They call the police. The police show up, go inside, and yes, someone has been in the condo. But not a person. A black bear had made its way into their home through an open kitchen window. They looked at the surveillance video, and they saw that the bear had walked around the whole condo, had taken food out of the freezer.
Aww.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. And at one point had walked over to the bench in front of the piano, got up on the bench, and started playing the piano. And I know that sounds like a joke, but you could see this video online of this bear with his little paws on the piano playing the piano. The police said in a news release that the chords captured on the video were unbearable.
Oh, man.
And that the tune was equally grisly.
Nope.
So it's an animal playing a piano. How critical do you have to be of his technique?
We didn't like the song he was playing.
Right?
I mean, seriously. But what a crazy story. Like, who would ever expect something like that? You'd never think it's a bear that breaks into your
Wouldn't
condo.
Wouldn't you be kind of okay with it? Like, yeah, a bear broke into my house.
I mean,
awesome.
Yes, except for that it might do it again. So that's not as awesome.
Well, you change your locks.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think the locks, I think this is through a window, Allie.
Window.
Okay.
You didn't have a key.
Sure.
I'm not sure how, but I think, because they're not named in the story, but I think Dave was able to get us the condo owners.
Oh, great.
Have them on the line to tell us about what they found when they came. Hello there.
Hello there.
Hi, you own the condo where the bear broke in?
No, I'm sorry, the owner's on here right now. May I take a message?
Oh, who's this?
Who's
this?
Your house sitting?
No, I'm just visiting.
Oh.
I like to stop by from time to time and tickle the ivory.
This is the bear?
Yeah. How did you know?
What are the chances?
I had no idea.
Yeah, my name's Barry.
Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Barry.
Barry
White. Nice to meet you.
Oh, hi,
you're very
Barry
smooth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, it's just the sound a bear makes.
He's still healthy when he makes it. It's all good. That's not sick or anything.
I don't have a cold or anything. Just called a growl. The bear's growl is the sound we make. Hey, thanks so much for coming out tonight. Happy to have you here. I got some songs for you. I hope you like them.
Oh, okay. What are you going to be playing today, Bert?
And I hope there's some of yours.
Okay. We were surprised.
Some bear over the rainbow.
Like it.
Way up high. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow. You're good.
Thank you so much. You know, one of my favorite artists, Madonna, once said, like a little bear, I will take you there. Hey, thanks so much, though. You know, it's great to be here in Vail, Colorado, eh? Everybody here? Anybody from out of town?
Who are you talking to, Bear?
I'm talking to you folks.
Okay.
I'm here in Vail, Colorado. You guys are there in Los
We're
Angeles.
We're in Los Angeles, yes.
Oh, Los Angeles.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I've never been there, but I've got some relatives down there.
Do you?
Oh.
Yeah. One of them's on the flag.
Oh, that's one of yours. That's nice.
That's one of mine. Yeah, it's one of mine.
That is nice.
You know, he tells me all the time about the stars he sees, and, you know, one of his favorites, Phil Collins, is back.
Is that right?
Got out of retirement this week.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel it coming in the bear
tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Barry.
Pretty great. Also, he met Neil Diamond once.
Did he?
I'm a big fan of Mr. Neil Diamond's. I am, I said, to no one bear, and no one hurt at all, not even a bear, you know.
Oh, my, Barry.
What?
What are you doing?
You know, folks, you know, it's great to be back in summertime because I sleep a lot during the fall and the winter.
Sure, yeah.
You
right.
Know what I always say to folks? I always say, wake me up. When September ends,
oh,
that's when it's time for me to stop hibernating. Hey, thank you so much. You know, folks, I'm going to take a little break, but I'll be back in a little bit. Don't forget to take care of your waiters, your waitresses, your bartenders. They work hard for you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54. Right?
That ship is good.
Hey, Jonathan Rosenberg from Simi Valley. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You won a few minutes ago the tickets for UFC 214. You heard DC doing his ID here on the show, and you were caller 20, so congratulations. By the way, Daniel Cormier is going to be in studio with us tomorrow morning right here on K-Rock, talking about the big rematch with John Bones Jones. We'll be talking all about UFC 214 and giving away some more tickets tomorrow on the show as well. Rob is here now for a Wednesday morning. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Pharrell Williams seems like a genuinely good dude, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He's racking up some points last week. He had a FaceTime call with an 8-year-old fan of his named Reef Carnison. And Reef has been battling acute lymphoblastic leukemia for 7 out of his 8 years.
Wow.
His kid's been sick for a long time. And so Pharrell invited him to a show in Cincinnati where he was performing. Now, Reef lives in Philadelphia. So, not exactly close. But Pharrell said, don't worry about it. I'm going to hire a limo, and we'll drive you and your family out from Philly to Cincinnati, so you can go in style.
Wow.
And I believe they had to do that also for medical reasons. I'm not sure if this kid can fly or not. Then he put up his family and Reef in a 5-star hotel. And if that wasn't enough, at the concert, he invited Reef and his sister to come on stage and sing along to Happy when he performed it live on stage.
Aww.
So pretty good night for Reef and his family, and it was a pretty cool thing of Pharrell Williams to do. So
that's really cool.
Very nice. Another musical in the works. We keep talking about these movies now. They're being turned into musicals. And, of course, albums have been doing it for a long time. But we mentioned last week, I guess it was Jagged Little Pill, right? Alanis Morissette being turned into a musical. Mm-hmm. Now Working Girl, the movie Working Girl, is headed for the stage. Remember that? Melanie Griffith, Harrison Ford?
No!
Kevin doesn't remember it, but a lot of people do. And a lot of people love it. And they are going to make a musical out of it with Cyndi Lauper writing the songs for the musical.
Oh.
Now, she is a wildly successful Broadway songwriter now with her smash hit Kinky Boots that was on Broadway. And the person who is writing the script for the musical is a writer named Kim Rosenstock, and she is one of the writers on New Girl.
Oh.
So I think this has a lot of potential. If you're a fan of the 1988 film Working Girl, you'll be able to see it on Broadway soon. It's pretty cool.
Day two of the Bill Cosby trial yesterday. Temple University employee Andrea Costan took the stand and testified that Cosby drugged her and assaulted her at his Pennsylvania home back in 2004. She testified she had gone to his home to discuss her career, and Cosby, who was at her time her mentor, gave her three pills and said, "It's time for you to relax." How ominous does that phrase
sound? No kidding.
She asked him what they are, what they were. He said they were natural. They were herbal. "Take them. They'll help you relax." Three of them, she said. He nodded. And then that's when Cosby also told her to have some wine. She said eventually she felt like she was paralyzed, frozen, could not move. And that's when she claimed she was molested by Cosby. So graphic detail. But apparently she was self-contained and held her own up there on the stand. So we'll remain to see today when they cross-examine her whether the defense has any success. We'll see.
Ralph, just to keep all the names straight, this also is not the woman?
No, this is the woman.
This is the woman.
Yesterday,
okay. Andrew
Costan, is the woman in the trial who is accusing Bill Cosby of sexual assault. She's the actual plaintiff, I guess.
Plaintiff, right, yeah. I wonder what's going to go on in the mindset of the jury that has no physical evidence or corroborating eyewitnesses. It's going to be who's most believable, right?
Yeah, it's tough.
It's he said, she said. I mean,
and it's often the case in these situations.
And if the burden is reasonable doubt, how can you ever be sure who's telling the truth?
Well, I think that's why the prosecuting legal team put other alleged victims up on the stand to try to establish a pattern and a state of mind that which will help.
Plus, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Bill Cosby under oath in a deposition and said that he bought drugs to give to women?
Mm-hmm. He admitted he did give women drugs before. Not in this particular case, however. But there is certainly enough evidence that a jury could find one way or the other.
So. Look, I think he's guilty, and I hope he goes to jail for the rest of his life. That's what I'm hoping for this outcome. But I'm also trying to prepare myself for the fact that this may be a very difficult case to prove.
I hear you. Hey, a Saturday night down there in Orange County at the Irvine Improv, you can cash me inside.
Nope.
At the Improv.
I think no.
I'm trying to pick up on her audience, and she's postponed her tour.
Right.
I'm trying to get some of those Cash Me Outside.
Cash Me Outside. How about that?
Fans to just come over to Hollywood Babylon and check.
Do
us
you
out
want those fans?
Oh yeah, absolutely. All right. Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show down in Orange County for the first time in a long time. It's been way too long. We're going to do the Irvine Improv. We'd love to have you come join us late Saturday night. I think it's a 9:30 show. Love to have you come and join us. Go to improv.com, click on the locations, and then Irvine, and the rest is a piece of cake. So we have a pretty good time. I think you will, too. Today's celebrity birthdays: Jordan Clarkson from the LA Lakers is 25 years old today. Emily Ratajkowski. I always have a hard time with her name.
Ratajkowski?
Ratajkowski. There's no J. You don't. The J
it's
is
silent.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. 26 years old today. Fetty Wap is 26. Iggy Azalea is 27. Michael Cera, 29. Bill Hader, 39. Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction is 50. Mick Foley, the wrestler, is 52. Vice President of these United States, Mike Pence, is 58. He's only 58. Doesn't he seem older to you?
Yeah.
He's the white hair or something. But L.A. Reid is 61, and Liam Neeson is 65 years old today. He's got a big birthday celebration.
Yeah. Right.
Huge
celebration
heart. Plan. Does a lot for the community.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. ESPN's Michelle Beadle next, talking to NBA Finals. Highest rated NBA Finals in nearly 20 years. So higher rated than last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. What's different about the NBA Finals this year?
Beadle.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Little mix-up, little change-up in the NBA Countdown show is what I'm saying. From ESPN and this week, ABC, ladies and gentlemen, Michelle Beadle back on the program here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, Michelle?
Y'all are so dumb. I was like, where are they going with this?
How's Cleveland today?
Oh, Cleveland is just Clevelandy.
Yeah. We were talking about this earlier today. When you travel a lot for work to cover events like this, you're not excited when it, I mean, look, for the basketball, it's great to have the Cavaliers versus the Warriors again. But for you as a person who has 20 other hours in the day to fill, you're probably not that jazzed when you hear it's Cleveland and Oakland, right?
No, I like to sit in my house and think, man, I wish the Bulls or the Knicks could be good at basketball again. That'd be great. Because I could spend all my days in either one of those cities. It would be wonderful. But actually, I will say this. Oakland's pretty good because you have Oakland, you have San Francisco. You can go to Napa for a day. I mean, there's a lot to do. Unfortunately, Cleveland suffers from a bit of a complex. It's also cloudy. That's not helping anybody.
Yeah.
But, you know. But the people here are very nice, and they actually, they're kind of in on the joke. I mean, we went over to a wine store next door yesterday to stock up just in case.
Right.
And the guys knew. Like, they all knew in the store. They're like, oh, is this because everything closes at midnight? We're like, yeah, pretty much.
And before we talk basketball, Michelle, I wanted to ask you about one thing you did squeeze in on the road. The other night, you went to see New Kids on the Block. And Allie gives you much love for that because, you know, she loves them as much as you do. How was that experience? Do they hold up? Would the 14-year-old of Michelle Beadle have recognized and enjoyed the guys that you saw on stage the other night in 2017?
The 14-year-old and the 41-year-old had the best time ever. I'm going to say this. Like, they're all, what, 5, 6, 7 years older than me at this point?
Right.
Donnie Wahlberg, like, it was 2-plus hours, and they never stopped. And there was dancing and the music, and people were going nuts. I had one girl with me who's about my age. She kind of loved them the first round. And the other three were super young. So they're just figuring this all out as we're going. And
wow,
our faces hurt. I mean, we had so much fun. Yeah, I would do it again in a second. It was great.
Your face impressive.
That's I'm smiling. Yeah. She was so happy.
That's quite a.
I was so happy.
Quite a concert review. All right, let's talk some. Let's talk some basketball. They have not been. What's the term? Close so far. these first two games. How does that? What when you're working on the team bringing you the game? That's kind of a downer, right? I mean, you're always looking for a buzzer beater when you go in, right?
Yeah. No, it sucks because you know the thing about the last game too. Game two was. It was a 3-point game at the half, and unfortunately, Chauncey got a little too excited, even though the first game was an 8-point game at the half, and we all know how that ended up. So I sort of feel like we've been snake-bitten. I'm not getting excited about anything. I don't even care if Cleveland's up tonight at the half. Like, I'm just not going to get excited about any of it.
Now
it's crazy. This Warriors team is unbelievably stacked, and I don't know what the weakness is. I really don't. You know, unless there's some sort of an injury, I just don't see how Cleveland has a shot.
This came up. You host the NBA Countdown with Jalen Rose and Chauncey Billups and Paul Pierce. You do a great job, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And they brought up, is there any way that Cleveland can win a game? How long has it been since that's been said in the finals?
It's crazy to say. Not just the word Cleveland. I have to keep reminding myself because for me the other night, I remember thinking at one point, these are two different levels of basketball that I'm watching. Like, one is just beautifully choreographed and perfect and seamless, and anybody who steps on that court in a Warriors uniform just seems to know exactly where to be at all times. Cleveland just didn't look that same way. They didn't make their shots. They looked almost discombobulated. And then I realized, oh, my God, I'm talking about a team with LeBron James on it. And that is, for me, I think it's been the weirdest thing for everybody. I had Warriors in 5 going into this because you know how much validity I give predictions based on nothing.
But
that being said, I mean, I don't think it's unheard of that this could possibly happen. And to me, if you're not going to have close games, which we haven't really had, I actually think the story of the Warriors sweeping a LeBron James-led team is actually a pretty great story, and I think it provides fodder for all the talking heads through the summer until next season. Unfortunately for the Skip Baylesses of the world, their heads might explode, and I guess that's good or bad.
Fingers crossed, Michelle. Fingers crossed.
And by the way, not just sweeping
in the universe, hoping it would happen.
Not just sweeping LeBron's Cavaliers, but sweeping every team they've come against in the playoffs. I mean, they're on a way to a historic run to not lose at all.
Well, I mean, they cheated against the Spurs, but if we want to overlook
Allie told us you were a Spurs fan, but I didn't know what
she's not a Spurs fan. It's insane, her love for that team.
I've accepted it.
It doesn't sound like it, Michelle.
Now, Michelle, I know you're very busy. You're doing a lot of stuff, but would it kill you to become friends with Rihanna so we can all hang out?
I love her. The best part about her was I mean, we are like, we're perched pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear the whole game. And I'm just sitting there like, she was standing up and giving ovation when LeBron was shooting free throws. I'm like, what is going on right now? This is insane. And then all I could think about was like, man, I don't know. If I'm LeBron's wife, like, that's a lot. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
That's a good
but
point.
I kind of love that she talks smack. I do love her. I think she's sexy and amazing.
So, yeah, but you don't have access to her?
I mean, I'm sure I could try.
Right?
You know what's funny is that one of our producer, like our big producer, is this beautiful woman named Amina who's like 9 feet tall. And they were walking down by the court and Rihanna like stopped her and gave her a kiss. It was like, good to see you. And Amina's like, I've never met Rihanna before.
Wow.
So Amina's like, everyone's jealous of Amina on this trip. And of course, she's using it to her advantage.
I'm saying do it for Allie, though. You're friends with Allie. Do it for her.
I know. I think we would be best friends with her. I
right? Okay. And now that I drink wine, Michelle?
Yeah, I know. Now that you're a classy wine drinker.
So sad.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. Let me ask you one more Warriors question, Michelle, and I don't know why I care about this, but are the Warriors so good and have brought lots of new people into following basketball because of their remarkable last few years that they are becoming America's team? Or are people now, because they're so good and have been so successful, are they turning into the kind of Patriots America's team where people are like
don't
rooting
bring up Patriots?
No,
Michelle.
I'm saying because some teams are so good they win all the time, like the Yankees, where people root against them because they're too good. It's kind of a weird balance where just how good you have to be. What are you feeling nationally about how people feel about Golden State?
I think they've officially reached the both parts of that conversation, because I think that the buildup had been probably last year was when I started to realize, like, oh, people are turning against them. And, you know, now what they've been able to do in this postseason has probably – but for me, it's good. There's that whole thing, like, if people are hating on you, then obviously you're doing it right.
Right.
Unless you're just a jerk, and then that's a different thing altogether. But, yeah, I think we've officially reached the part where people like my mom, who has no idea what's going on and just only knows Steph Curry as the cutie one, she's all in. You know? And then you have other people who love sports who are like, they love to hate on this team. And I think it's great, because whatever it is, it's bringing a lot of moms in that I didn't realize.
Well, that's what the NBA wants.
Sure.
But I have basketball fans, for instance, who lost respect for KD because when you jump on a team that won 73 last year, they feel like you're not, you know, it's not fair. You know what I mean? Like, you're not earning it.
I get it.
It's a monopoly.
Look what he's doing. Like, yeah. It's not like he went in there and just, like, sat down and let everybody. No, he is dominating it. And dare I say, it looks like he's having a blast doing it. So I think I've finally reached the point where I realized, like, no, this is just the way it is now. I kind of wish the league, I don't know if there was a way to drop five teams so we could sort of up the power of all the other teams a little bit more or somehow figure that out. But, yeah, he's dominating this thing. I can't even be mad at him. Like, he's not riding coattails. He's doing it.
All right. Well, you are, as Kevin mentioned, we're such huge fans of your work and have been for a long time. You do a great job on Sports Nation. We're really enjoying seeing you on ABC on the NBA Countdown. The game is tonight in Cleveland, Game 3. Check out Michelle and the team ahead of the game, and we'll look forward to that. And you're welcome anytime on the Kevin and Meet Show. Have fun in Cleveland. We'll talk to you again soon.
I'll be back in July. I'm coming in studio.
Fantastic. Sounds great. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. Bye now.
Oh, that was fun.
She's a delight.
She may be the perfect woman, Allie.
But she's friends with me. That should change her.
Well, I mean,
opinion.
Not everybody's perfect.
Okay. Yeah,
there's a little bit of a ding there. How about a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere of Baby Driver? This is the new Edgar Wright film we're so excited about. The Ace Theater in downtown L.A. on June 14. What are we looking for this time around?
We're looking for Edgar Wright fans.
Oh,
you get to know his work. 1-800-520-1067. You call now. We'll play next.
First, though, Ralph, you're in here to give away tickets to what, sir?
Baby, 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 Baby Driver.
Baby Driver.
Baby Driver. This is the new Edgar Wright film written and directed by Edgar Wright, one of my favorite writer-directors, and it is Ansel Elgort, Kevin Spacey, Lily James, John Hamm, Jamie Foxx, an amazing cast in this caper film, and I love them, and it just looks terrific. We're having the premiere. Well, they're having the premiere. We're not doing anything. We just got tickets. It's the red carpet premiere of Baby Driver happening at the Ace Theater downtown in Los Angeles on June 14th. Movies and theaters everywhere on June 28th. But I wanted to give it to some people who would really appreciate it. I mean, this is a big deal. Red carpet premiere tickets are not easy to come by.
Right.
And I wanted to give them to some of my fellow Edgar Wright fans. So it's going to be a little tough,
little bit of a trivia question, but you're going to need to know the career of Edgar Wright as we play Right or Wrong.
Is it right or is it wrong? Baby driver, you can come along. Come on now and take a little spin. Movie tickets that you can win. Is it right or is it wrong?
It's pretty simple. I'm going to play a clip from an Edgar Wright project. Now, because Edgar Wright's career has been all over the place, we have pulled from television, film, his work as a writer, his work as a director, his work as a writer-director. I will play you a clip from an Edgar Wright project, and you need to be able to identify what that project is.
All right.
You will be right, or you will be wrong.
Is it right or is it wrong?
And no drawing this time, so we got five pairs of tickets.
Pairs.
So
yeah.
You get yours right, you're going to the premiere.
Start with Latasha from Sierra Madre. Hi there.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Latasha.
How's it going?
Are you a fan of Edgar Wright's work?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, I wish you luck. I'm going to play you a clip from one of his projects, and you need to identify it. Here is your clip.
Okay. Nobody takes my ship!
They've already taken it.
Nobody takes my ship twice! We'll show them here, won't we, Denton? All right, then, what's the plan?
There is no plan.
Of course there's a plan. You've always got a plan.
Do you know what film that is from?
I don't.
Yeah. So a bit of a toughie because this is something he just wrote the screenplay for, but this is The Adventures of Tintin.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry
damn
about
it.
That.
Sorry.
Sorry. Damn it.
Thank you for calling. All right. Let's go to Ryan in Chatsworth. Hi there.
Hello. Yes.
Ryan, I'm going to play a little clip from an Edgar Wright project. You need to tell me what's the name of it, okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
If you are thinking of going into this house, don't.
Do you know what that's from?
No, it sounded terrible, but I'm going to go with The End of the World or The World End.
No, I'm sorry, Ryan. That is from Grindhouse. From Grindhouse, that is the trailer for the fictional movie Don't that Edgar Wright directed, which is hilarious.
Please make Don't, Edgar. Please.
If you ever get a chance to see it. Don't look up. Don't look down. This goes on and on. It's so much fun.
I feel like there was a nice hint for the caller.
I would think so.
Because he said don't at the end.
Yeah, even if it said the trailer for Don't, we would have given it to you.
Yeah.
Let alone Grindhouse.
All right, let's go to Sergio in Whittier. Hi there.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Sergio. I'm going to play you a clip from an Edgar Wright project. You need to identify it. Here's your clip.
Keanu Reeves is chasing him through people's gardens. And he goes to shoot Swayze, but he can't because he loves him so much. And he's firing his gun up in the air. He's like, oh.
Have
you ever fired your gun up in the air and gone, ah?
No, I have not ever fired my gun up in the air and gone, ah.
No, I haven't. You know the name of that film?
That's Hot Fuzz.
That is
yes,
Hot Fuzz.
It
well
is.
Done. You're going to the premiere Baby Driver. Hold on.
Yeah, woo! That movie's funny.
Oh, I love it so much.
All right.
Oh, he's no good.
He doesn't know.
Dave doesn't like the Cornetto film.
He's insane.
He's bad.
Stop
he's
talking about Dave. He's okay. Awful.
Let's go to Mark in San Clemente. Hi, Mark.
Hey.
Hey, Mark. We're going to play a clip from an Edgar Wright project. You need to identify it. Here it is.
Then why don't you give me the cliff notes on how and why you ended up dating this a-hole?
Is that really important right now?
Well, if there's a key element in his backstory that's going to help me out in a critical moment of not dying, yes.
You know the film?
World's End.
No, I'm sorry. It's Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
To be fair, Dave loves that movie.
Yeah, true, he does.
All right.
It's the one Edgar Wright project he enjoys.
All right, let's go to Josh in Canoga Park. Hi, Josh.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Josh, here's your Edgar Wright clip.
Okay, everyone just stay where they are. I'm going to check if the coast is clear.
Is it clear?
No.
How many?
Lots.
Lots. You know the film?
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead is correct.
Nicely done. You win.
Oh, I'm just going to say greatest zombie movie ever.
Oh, boy. Sure up there.
All right. Let's go to Robert in Huntington Beach. Hi, Robert.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Robert. Here's an Edgar Wright project. I need you to identify it.
As far back as I can remember, I've always wanted to be a graphic artist. And one day soon, I will be.
Know what that is, Robert?
Is that A Fistful of Fingers?
No, it's not. That is Spaced, the TV show that started it all for Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg's collaboration. Spaced.
All right, we just got time for one more, I'm sorry to say, guys.
All right, let's make it Trevor in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Trevor. Here's your clip of an Edgar Wright project. Identify it.
I'm Gary King. All right, there's only one Gary King. How do I know you guys are you?
We've been together the whole time.
You might or not be you.
Is that World's End?
It is the World's End. You're absolutely right. And you're going to see the premiere of Baby Driver.
Woo!
Nicely done. Thanks for playing the game.
Poor Ari Greener calls in to do an interview, and she's on hold for the whole song. She liked it. Let's find out if she liked the song. Hey, sorry. Ari.
Hi, guys.
How did you enjoy MGMT? Was it okay?
Yeah, it was great. I had a little dance party in my bed. It was perfect.
All right. That's awesome. Well, how are you this morning?
I'm well, thank you. I'm just fighting a little sickness, so I'm sorry if my voice is extra scratchy, but I'm
good. Times.
Good. How are you guys?
At least that kind of sickness cannot go away for like 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Right. Yeah, you're sure to have it for a really annoying amount of time. Yeah.
Ari is on the phone right now because she just debuted in a new show this past Sunday night at 10 on Showtime that a lot of people are talking about for a lot of different reasons. It's called I'm Dying Up Here. Executive producer Jim Carrey, by the way, which I'm fascinated because I know he's done a little bit of press, but I haven't seen much on him for this. Did it always stick with him since he was the comedian back in the 70s doing stand-up in Hollywood? Hey, there's a show in there somewhere? Is this something he's always wanted to make?
Yeah, he's been wanting to do something about sort of the early days of comedy, and he sort of talks about this show takes place in 1973, and he talks about it sort of being like the big bang of comedy, but that's when stand-up sort of became its own art form in and of itself. Like, clubs used to be, people would, you know, do comedy next to musicians and folk singers and blah, blah, blah. And this is, like, just these clubs open just for comedy. And he, you know, had so many great stories and was such a huge part of his life. He came up a little bit later in the 80s, but he's been wanting to do it forever. And he got the rights to this book. Our show is based on a nonfiction book, the same title. The show is a fictionalized account of it, but like a lot of stuff that happens in the show is out of Jim's life. Like, there's a couple of characters, Michael Ingrano and Clark Duke play Ron and Eddie, and they come to town from Boston and they literally live in a closet. And
with a cat box, with a litter box.
With a litter box. And that is straight out of Jim's life. He came to town and the man lived in a closet. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff in there, and yeah, I mean, he's such a great guy. He's, you know, deep and soulful and hilarious.
Sure.
I can't imagine the bravery that it takes to get up in front of a crowd and do this, and it's
Agreed.
Just you. You're putting yourself out there, and you actually did some open mics and some backyard barbecues just to get ready for this?
Yeah, I mean, I did a couple of open mics. I mean, first of all, agreed. Being a stand-up, I think, is truly the bravest, most courageous type of performer and art form we have, truly. And I feel sort of silly every time I talk about it because I think, like, oh, my God, I'm not even really doing it, you know? But we went up there. Again, Michael Angarano and I went to a couple of open mics, and I signed up. At first, I signed up under my character's name, and I performed some of the stand-up from the show that I had also fleshed out a little bit.
Right.
I was just really curious how that would feel, and it was about my parents dying in a car crash.
Good times.
So so hilarious.
Wow.
It was really, really hilarious. And I was supposed to bomb doing it in the show. And so that sort of like gave me permission to go do it in real life. I thought, well, if this goes terribly, I'm supposed to bomb anyway.
That's what I'm supposed to do, everybody.
That's
what I'm supposed to do. No pressure.
And it actually went pretty well. And then I did some of my, a little bit of, and I use this in quotes, my own material, and did it a little bit. And it was not a disaster, but I also, you know, I don't think my inherent makeup is a stand-up.
Stand-up, right.
Myself in other ways.
But did you have a moment or two where the material connected and you got that rush that you hear comedians talk about that makes them addicted to being on stage?
I mean, I to be honest, I had that while we were shooting, you know. I mean, even though it's a TV show and it's pretend stand-up, you know, when you're standing on stage and it's just you and a mic in front of 100 people, whether they're extras or not, you know, the first time you do it, they don't know what's going to happen. They haven't read the script. They don't know. And so it could feel pretty real, especially in the beginning part of the day. It's like by hour 8, it doesn't really feel real. But when you do it the first time, and especially when we were shooting the pilot, those first two sets I did, and especially like the second one at the end, if you've seen it, it's a really long time I'm up there. There were like three cameras really far away. I couldn't see any of them. The club was filled with 100 people, and I just went through that entire thing, which took a long time. And something happened, you know, it felt pretty exciting.
So now you have to do that, right?
Now she's a comic.
Now you're a comic.
She just got a tour.
Full-time comic.
I don't know.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Bean.
I was just going to mention, the first episode just aired this past Sunday night at 10 on Showtime. You can still catch up on demand, and it airs on Sundays at 10. And they introduced a lot of characters. There's obviously a lot of potential different directions that the storyline can go. But you were kind of the star of the first one. I mean, especially, you know, being a woman in 1973 trying to be taken serious doing anything must be a kind of a totally another dimension that you get to play as this character.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the good and the bad news about it is that it doesn't feel so different from now. You know, people are like, oh, 1973 must have been a crazy different time. And it's not so different, unfortunately. I didn't have to do that much research to understand what it is to be a sole woman in a space and try to fight to be heard and try to not be, you know, sexually harassed and try to be taken seriously. You know, all of these things that we're all dealing with all the time are really similar in a lot of ways. And the show looks at this whole community and this whole group of friends, and we all became very close in real life as well. And the show, you know, is a true ensemble, but yeah, you definitely follow Cassie's. And I think because she is the only woman stand up in this world, I think, you know, her story and trajectory sort of leaps out at you a little bit.
Sure.
Because she's on her own out there.
I'm fascinated by your role and the interactions between you and Goldie, who's Melissa Leo. She plays the owner of the club, and that push and pull between two women that should be, you know, supporting each other, and then it just becomes not so much supporting, but there's also this other element of love in there and this connection. It's a really fascinating watch. I might have gone ahead and watched way too many of the screeners.
Oh,
so I don't want to say things that happen, but it's just it's beautiful. It really is.
Thank you. I Melissa and I have talked about it a lot, that I think the relationship between Cassie and Goldie is one of the most complicated and nuanced and honest relationships between two women that I've seen, because I think a lot of time and where we are right now, we're in a very reactive culture. So I think when there's sort of something negative, then people want to get like extremely holier than thou about something. So in this conversation about women and being unsupported, I think a lot of the reaction would be to have these two women who, come on, babe, I'm going to support you through thick and thin. You know, and it's like, that's not necessarily real either.
Mm-mm.
You know, or,
exactly.
And I think there is a lot of love. And I love that you said that, because it's true. There is deep respect and it's complicated.
Yeah.
They're bringing in whole histories of complication into each other that I think people do as a whole, whether they're women or men or whatever. The dynamic between two people in a room is alive with all the years and generations that have come before it and those that are coming after. It's a
well,
space.
We are we're happy for you. It's always great for us as an audience member to have Ari Grainer on our TV and on our movie screen. So it's wonderful to see in this project that I know you like so much. It's called I'm Dying Up Here, Sunday nights at 10 on Showtime, Season 1. It's available now on demand if you missed the first one. Ari, feel better. Thank you for coming on the Kevin Beach Show. We enjoyed it.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
When you would you take your kids to see a movie if it's R or rated?
No.
Okay. What if they took out all the elements in the film that made it R-rated?
Then I wouldn't go see it.
That's what I'm thinking, right? Aren't you gutting a film if you take out whatever it was meant to be?
Yeah.
Sony Pictures has announced they're putting together clean versions of movies that will be available to families if you want to buy it in that form on iTunes, excuse me, Vudu, Fandango Now, other streaming sources.
I hope they have to get permission from the director, from the writer, from the actors, and all the other people involved in making the movie.
Well, they don't, because they do it for broadcast television or airlines, for example. But now they're going to make these versions available for home consumption, not just broadcast or airline consumption.
Remember, Ralph, a few years ago we had a story like this about that company in Utah that was editing the movies?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But and a lot of people were ticked off about that.
In their particular case, they did not have the rights to the films. Gotcha. They were not the owners of the rights for those films.
So the studios came down on them, and then they thought, hey, that's a good idea.
Sony will make 24 films offered in clean versions, including Big Daddy, 50 First Dates, Step Brothers, Talladega Nights.
No.
Wow.
And so you can show your kids 50 First Dates. My kid doesn't want to see 50 First Dates. She wants to see Trolls. Just show the kids Family Fair if that's the case.
This is weird.
Why can't grown-ups have things? Not everyone, as you can imagine, in the business is excited about it. For example, Seth Rogen tweeted yesterday, "Holy S, please don't do this to our movies. Thanks." So...
And he's had a good relationship with Sony.
Yeah, they really hit it off after that assassination picture that they did, the interview.
That's bullshit.
It is BS. There's plenty of fare for families to watch together.
Yeah.
I'd say 100 years worth. Once you threw all of the family films, then you can start cutting out Talladega Nights and Step Brothers.
Do you think this will be successful? I don't think so.
I don't know how much of a demand there is for a clean version of Step Brothers.
The movie certainly suffers for it.
Yeah, right. It's a lose-lose. Anyway. I can't play you any of this next story, but it just makes me so happy. Because it puts my hometown of Philadelphia in the best possible light. Have you seen the video of the TV reporter outside the comedy club?
Oh, my God.
Yelling at that poor Philadelphia police officer who should get an accommodation for not beating her into a stain.
Yeah. I have not seen that.
And asking her friend just to bring her home.
Just take her away from here. You mother effer, you sea sucker. You.
Wow.
I've never heard such language from a person.
She takes off her shoe and says, "Smell my shoe."
Why?
She's out of
her mind. Wow.
Yeah. She's just
beyond She was so loaded at the comedy club that the comedy club asked her, well, didn't ask her. They eventually had to escort her from the premises. And out front, when she started to verbally and physically attack the members of the staff of the comedy club, that's when the police were called.
Wow.
And one of the comedians is just shooting the video of this insane woman. And do yourself a favor, check it out online. It's not safe for work, but it's remarkable. It's kind of shocking and hilarious at the same time. And she was a television reporter in Philadelphia.
Wow.
By the way, no longer in the
employee. I would assume not.
Of Channel 17 there in Philadelphia. But I was entertained this morning with that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Liam Neeson, 65 years old today. L.A. Reid is 61. Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States, is 58. Mick Foley is 52. Dave Navarro is 50. Bill Hader, very funny man, is 39. Michael Cera, 29. Iggy Azalea is 27. Fetty Wap, 26. Emily Ratajkowski is 26 as well. And Jordan Clarkson from the LA Lakers is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out to SoCal. Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got Dr. Drew on Thursdays. We also talk sports with Jim Rome and the light heavyweight champ of the UFC, Daniel Cormier, in studio. Tomorrow morning on an all-new show.